Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be talking about the world of wrestling, pretty much specifically last night, night one of WrestleMania, at our brand new number, which is 563-999-3065, 563-999-3065. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I know most people who are tuning in to hear what our thoughts are on night one, and you're certainly going to do that. But I want to start with something that I just find unbelievable. That's not WrestleMania related. Apparently, Tony Khan is legitimately going to air a security tape footage of the confrontation between CM Punk and Jack Perry that ended with CM Punk obviously getting fired or released for cause or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to say about this. I really honestly don't. You know, I've given it some thought, and my initial reaction was, what the hell does this have to do with anything? My initial reaction is, do we really need to see it? Does anybody really need to see this? As curious as I am, obviously they have the goods on CM Punk. Although I've been very critical of Tony Khan, I don't think he's stupid enough to release footage that clearly shows that CM Punk was in the right. But I still fired him. So obviously, he was not in the right. As I told you from the very beginning, and so did everybody on this panel, he was not in the right. Now Tony Khan's going to prove he wasn't in the right. He's going to prove that CM Punk went on Ariel Helwani's show or whatever the hell it was and lied. Or at least stretched the truth tremendously. And it's going to embarrass the hell probably out of CM Punk, but it's also going to embarrass AEW, and I'll tell you why it's going to embarrass AEW. Why do you care? This is the equivalent of a couple breaking up and then one of the other ones posting love letters or something they sent on the internet saying, yeah, but look what they wrote me back then. Look what they did. Look what they said. I don't know. I think it's a desperate bid for ratings because Tony Khan's ratings has absolutely hit the toilet, and he has admitted that their deal is coming up, their negotiations are taking place, and then they're doing under 750,000. I mean, you get much lower than that. I know that they're saying, well, it's still one of the top shows on there. Okay, but, I mean, they're not going to give you a whole bunch of money. Not for ratings like that. Because at the end of the day, you can say, well, it's one of the top shows on my network, but your sponsors are going to say, well, I could spend money on another network, on another show that reaches more people for the price you're charging. So they're going to have to lower their advertising rates, right? So I think this is a desperate bid on Tony Khan's part, figuring everybody will flock to hear it, which is probably true. And the ratings will go up to 1 million, at least for 1 week. And maybe in that 1 week, we can capture more people's attention and they'll keep watching it. I don't know what to tell you. This is the equivalent, really, of someone so desperate to get ratings that they're stooping to this level. Now, I know there's going to be some Tony Khan supporters here who say, well, listen, if CM Punk lied about what he did, he should be outed and you should be happy he's outed because you don't like him. And you said from the very beginning it's CM Punk's fault. That's fine. If Tony Khan said, I'm going to make public for the world to see the security footage of CM Punk, I'm going to put it on YouTube, or I'm going to put it on a platform where you can go watch it for yourself, and you decide whether I was right or I was wrong, I'd be okay with that. To say I'm going to air it on my television show, everybody better watch. It's going to be on the television show. That, to me, is a desperate cry for, I need ratings. If I was Tony Khan and CM Punk went on an interview and lied through his teeth, which doesn't surprise me, and I wanted to prove that I was right and CM Punk's a liar, I would say, okay, well, you know what? I'll release this to the news media then. I'll release it online. People can watch it themselves. And then you decide whether I was lying or not. But when you say, oh, no, tune into the TV show to see it, Mike, makes me feel very strongly that this is just a big ratings grab.
Absolutely. And look, here's the deal. Think about it this way, in terms of being a ratings grab. Even at the end of WCW, just before Vince bought them, right? They weren't doing this stuff, I don't think, at the end of WCW. So, and I'm not saying that it's at the end of AEW, but the smacks of it being that close to being the end of AEW, and the fact of the matter is it's not just the ratings ploy, but what must these guys are the guys in the locker room, the boys, right? They're saying, okay, months ago they're saying, okay, We've gotten rid of this guy. He's gone. We're possibly in a better place because this guy's no longer here. We don't need to know anything else. He's gone. He's out of our lives. Let the WWE worry about him. And then you come up and do this stuff. And this, as bad as this could hurt the morale in the locker room.
It just seems really, really weird to me. I mean, again, Tony Khan could say, okay, well, Punk went on Ariel Harani's show. I'll go on that show, and I'll show him the footage. And then let everybody decide. Tom, to me, this feels very much like this is a desperation attempt to get a huge ratings boost one week from Tony Khan.
You know, quite honestly, Marcus, I think that anything that Tony Khan has done in the last probably 6 months has been, it just cries of desperation. I mean, this man went on Twitter and started calling Triple H and Shawn Michaels, you know, bald-headed bastards. And remember all that? And then he was literally afraid of his life, afraid for his life when CM Punk was so, he was so violent. He was afraid for his life. Desperation. He wants attention. Okay, well, here's the attention you're getting. You're your own worst enemy. Why do it now? Why didn't you do it then? So, whether it makes it – that's not going to make it better, but if you're drawing negative attention to yourself, I think you're drawing negative attention to your product, and your ratings will go down. The proof is in the pudding. People are going to get sick of it.
Well, I'm obviously interested in seeing it, but I would imagine that if it clears CM Punk of any wrongdoing, Tony Khan wouldn't be showing it. So quite obviously, CM Punk's in the wrong. Now, we've said this a bazillion times over. Now, let me put my Nostradamus cap on, and let me tell you how CM Punk will respond to this. Tape was edited. There was more to it. Tony Khan purposely edited out parts that made me look good. That's what's going to happen. Todd, they signed Will Ospreay, who I'm told is the greatest wrestler ever in the face of the earth to ever have graced the squared circle ever in the history of the business. They signed Okada, who is the second coming of I don't know who in Japan and is supposed to be the next greatest wrestler in the world. Then they signed Mercedes Moné, who for some reason is this era's fabulous moolah or something. She can do no wrong. And you can't get more than 750,000 people to watch the product, then something is wrong.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole Tony Khan and CM Punk situation, we've been saying this for a while now. This is going to look bad. It's going to look bad on both sides. And we found, it came out Tony Khan was like telling the truth about CM Punk, and like you said, CM Punk went on the talk show and lied about the whole situation with Jack Perry and Tony Khan.
I mean, I can't guarantee he lied, but I can guarantee you this. If he didn't, I don't think Tony Khan's showing the tape. I just don't know why he would. What's Tony Khan going to do? Say, well, I'm going to show the tape and then say, oh, yeah, I guess CM Punk was right. I guess I shouldn't have fired him. That's not going to happen. So quite obviously, he has the goods on. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. It's a mess over there. It's getting worse by the day. Anyway, let me talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame ceremony. There's not much to say here, to be perfectly honest. Paul Heyman was first, which really surprised me. I was glad to see some of the ECW originals in the audience, and Paul acknowledged them and everything. It was a good speech overall. Everything else was pretty standard, except I will say this. Thunderbolt Patterson, for everything he said, and I know a lot of it was religious and based and everything, said something that I think is so important, and I was so glad he said it to the people he did, which is the WWE workers and everything. He said, stop playing the race card. Just stop. And he's right. Thunderbolt Patterson was in this business when there was legitimate racism, legitimate problems for people of color. And he overcame it. He's standing in the ring next to the New Day. They're the most popular tag team probably in the history of the WWE. They've had the gold how many times? 13 times? Kofi Kingston was the champion? They've had no problems. Not compared to Thunderbolt Patterson, they have. Every little setback cannot be, it's because of my race. Sometimes a setback is just a setback. And it would have happened regardless of what color, creed, heritage you were. And I think Thunderbolt Patterson's message was very important, that I didn't let it stop me, and it was a million times worse than it is now. Had Thunderbolt Patterson been a young man in this generation, it would have been a whole new ballgame. Whole new ballgame. And he wouldn't have had to fight so hard. So I think what he was really trying to say is, I lived through legitimate racism. I lived through a legitimate time where it was harder for a black athlete to make it. And I still made it. And I didn't use the race card. I just worked hard, got it done, and here I am going into the WWE Hall of Fame. So you guys who suffer a minor little setback, quit using the race card as an excuse and just do the same thing. I thought it was a very important message, Mike.
I thought it was too, and that's the thing. And look, you know, you look at the people that came out of that time. Thunderbolt Patterson, Rocky Johnson, and there's a whole list of other people that came out of that particular period of time. And I guarantee you, Rocky Johnson would be saying the same thing. And some of the other, African-American black athletes would have been saying the same thing, you know, that Thunderbolt Patterson said at the time, last night, two nights ago, you know. So he...
I never saw Thunderbolt Patterson wrestle, I'll be honest. Never saw him wrestle. I never even saw him cut a promo. So when I saw some of the stuff that he actually came up with, like you better call somebody and the whole funky like a monkey thing and the whole jiving dance thing before the elbow and even it's a new day, yes it is. I was like, wow. You know, people borrowed an awful lot from him. So, you know, I thought that even though that speech probably was uncomfortable for some people, Tom, there were parts of it I think was vital to be heard.
Well, let me tell you what, I didn't get to see it on the night it aired. I did watch it yesterday, and it was a lot of – I'm going to agree with you there that a lot of it was religious-based, but his message is, you know, it's not the same as it was back then. You're getting – there's setbacks, yes. The wrestling business and the country are not perfect, but stop pulling the race card every time you have a setback. People have setbacks regardless of your skin color. You don't have it like you're not even facing this kind of the kind of problems that I was exposed to back then. So, you know, embrace what you have. They're not treating any of the black athletes in WWE poorly. None. Zero.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right. Well, let's get to WrestleMania, folks. First off, let me say this. Whoever thought it was a sensational idea to book an open-air arena in Philadelphia in early April should have their head examined. Obviously, they never lived on the East Coast. Obviously, they never lived through a Philadelphia or a Pennsylvania, New York, or New Jersey April. Because number one, it's usually not very warm. And number two, it rains a lot. Well, they didn't get the rain, but they got 50-degree temperatures that with the wind chill factor was down in the 40s. In the 40s. So these athletes had to come out with a 45 degrees with, you know, bare-chested, bare-legged, some of them. It had to be cold. And it's hard to get going. It's hard to get going. I wrestled in a building that had no heat several times in the winter. And oh, my God. Everything hurts. You just slap your hand the wrong way, and you're like, okay, that actually hurt. So my fingers are cold. My toes are cold. Everything's cold. So I knew right away, oh boy, we're going to have trouble getting things started. Then we get Becky Lynch's entrance, which was basically just a plug of her book. And she comes out with 100, well, the night before they said she had 102 degree fever. 102 degree fever is fairly serious. So, I mean, kudos to her for coming out freezing and doing this match. I'm sure she didn't want to miss it for anything, but once I heard that, I said, I do not expect this match to be what it would normally have been if she was 100% healthy, because obviously she's not 100% healthy. Then Rhea Ripley comes out with Motionless in White. Now, I don't know. I'm a musician, but I really couldn't tell. I tell you this, the music was definitely pre-taped. I'm not sure the vocal was pre-taped. And whoever was doing the sound had the vocal way too loud. And you didn't really hear the music. You just heard this guy screaming. It was not good. It was not good. Guess that's Rhea Ripley's favorite band. I mean, I saw them live. And they're a good band. But this was not good. Not good at all. The match itself was acceptable. It wasn't as good as I think it could have been. I'm not going to tell you it was a lousy match. It was not a lousy match. It was an acceptable match. Was it a WrestleMania quality title defense? No, not really. Now, maybe it's no fault of Becky Lynch. She's got 102 fever the night before. I don't know what you can expect of her. But nonetheless, you know, we got to call it as we see it. And I wasn't horribly disappointed, but I wasn't jumping up and down either. It was okay. Rhea Ripley wins clean. Okay. Sounds all right to me, but now what? I mean, I don't know. There just didn't seem to be no story, no what next, no nothing. It was just, okay, I won in the next match. And it just felt like this could have been on Raw or SmackDown and still been fine, you know? Or a house show. It didn't feel like a WrestleMania match to me, Mike. It just felt like a decent standard title defense for Rhea Ripley.
Right. And this, and as a performer, you got to give it to, you got to give it to her. You got to give it to Becky Lynch, because there have been performers that have the sports personalities that have come out with fevers and, you know, done great things, like Michael Jordan a couple times, right? So you got to give it to her for soldiering through whatever she had. I mean, that, if she had it the night before and it came down overnight, then fine. Of course, being in 40-degree weather doesn't help. But
no, it doesn't.
I mean, you would think the WWE would know about the weather report, right?
You'd think so. It was really weird, Mike. I mean, I did feel sorry for them. I'm just, this is crazy. A couple less degrees, you'd have been seeing their breath. I mean, could you at least book an arena that had a possibility of being able to close the roof? Very weird. Anyway, Tom, I thought it was okay. I just didn't think it was overly exciting or overly dramatic or told any real story. It just was what it was.
Hats off to both ladies for powering through the cold. That does a number on your muscles, makes them stiff even when you're stretched, you know, properly before, you know, working out or doing a match. We've wrestled in arenas with no heat and, you know, fans built a fire in a barrel. But, you know, so I get it, but they really should have they really should have booked an arena with a roof. That being said, for Becky Lynch to have night before have 102 fever plus strep throat on top of that, she did a great. It was what it was. I was fully expecting, to be honest with you, not for Rhea Ripley to win clean, but for there to be some kind of shenanigans with Nia Jax. And there wasn't, and I was kind of disappointed. I was also fully expecting, even though there wasn't interference with Nia Jax, for there to be like a sportsmanship handshake at the end, and there wasn't. And it was like, next match. So I was disappointed in that, but the match was what it was, and I enjoyed it. I kind of feel for, you know, the athletes that are in, that were working in such temperatures that,
yeah, I mean, listen, they did well, and you got to put your hat, Lee, too, because there might have been some people who said, listen, I'm not going to be wrestling somebody a strep throat and 102 fever. Next thing you know, I'll have it. So, I mean, hats off to her, too. You're right about Nia Jax. That's what I was waiting for. This is not going to end with Becky Lynch just getting pinned, because if it does, I don't know what's next. But it did. Nia Jax wasn't even in WrestleMania. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, I had a guy write me say, yeah, you were right about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It did come down to Ivar, Otis, and Bronson Reed. Yeah, feeling it would. And Bronson Reed won. I think it was a mistake. Anyway, Todd, what did you think of the match Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley?
Yeah, well, like you said, it was an okay match. And like you said, it is what it is with it. And when Becky Lynch came out wearing an outfit, it looked like a Budweiser outfit. It reminded me of the Budweiser bottle or the cans.
It really did, didn't it? It looked like a Budweiser can. I have no idea what the hell that was all about. That was bizarre. Really, really bizarre. Anyway. Decent opening match, but I don't think it set the pace. You see, when you have an opening match, I don't know if people know how important it is. I mean, if you go to a house show, the opening match is usually just a preliminary match, so it's not important. But when you're opening up a major pay-per-view, you sort of set the tone for the whole night. So when you had a big event, usually the opening match has to be something that you say, wow, okay, Well, now all the people in the dressing room, they're going to have to overcome that one because that was a good one. I don't feel this was that. So, like we said, it was what it was. We then get to the six-pack ladder match, and it was confusing, but at the last minute, they cleared it up and said both sets of belts have to come down. The same team can pull down both sets of belts, and then they will be the undisputed champions, or two different teams can pull down two different belts. I knew they were going to separate these belts if that was the case. A-Town Down Under gets the first one, which is the, the SmackDown titles, right? A-Town Down gets the SmackDown tag team titles. Really, that one happened without any real, I don't know, just weird how it happened. It just happened. There was no excitement to it. There was no drama. It was just like, oh, we climbed up, and hey, we got them. Okay. You know. Crowd favorite was obviously R-Truth all night long. They were screaming for R-Truth to be the one to climb that ladder. I knew he was going to be the one to climb that ladder and get the Raw Tag Team titles or the SmackDown Tag Team titles or both. I knew that Awesome Truth was going to have something out of the night. And it was. R-Truth got it. The crowd popped. This was a good match overall. There was a couple of decent, really decent spots, I thought, with Tyler Bate picking up Finn Balor and the ladder at the same time, with Finn Balor stretched on the ladder and doing the airplane spin. There's a couple of good dives on the outside of the ring, a couple of good moments. It was very, what's the right word for it? With that many people in the ring, it was very, very crowded, and at times it was hard to follow the action, and at times clearly people stayed out of the ring on purpose to give the other people a chance to do their spots. So I'm never really a huge fan of that many people in a match for that reason, but it was still pretty good. So I thought this set a better tone, Mike, than the opening match.
Yeah, I think this has set a better tone for the match. And you got to, I mean, look, we've said it before. The Miz and R-Truth are two guys that when they decide to hang them up, they're going to be missed. But, again, they're two guys that have definite, possibilities after their days in the ring are done. You know, I mean, we know the Miz has his TV show and all that stuff, but I'm talking about because they both can have the gift of gab, they can be both of those two guys can be managers, I love seeing these two guys get this thing because they deserve it. I mean, in this case, they really do deserve it. And it's just that. And then you talked about the spots in this match. The spot of the night we'll get to in a little while. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think overall this was good. Like I said, it's a very, very tough thing to do a long match with that many people, because you're going to have to remember all the spots, even spots that aren't yours, because you're going to need to be outside the ring while those spots are going on, so you're not in the way. There's a lot of that in those matches, Tom, so they did a good job overall.
Yeah, I thought the match was good, but I have to say that I was tickled by the fact that R-Truth went down for the pin when it's a ladder match, and Miz had to, like, reassure him, hey, you can't pin anybody. It's a ladder match. You have to climb the ladder. That cracked me up. But it was pure chaos for that many people in the match. And, you know, your timing, you have to remember, just like you said, you have to remember everybody else's spots, because that goes along with timing and ring placement and everything else. But I think they did a great job. The right people won the Raw belts, I believe, because let me tell you what, the Miz has been put through the ringer over the last couple of years. And for him to finally win something, at WrestleMania and have his moment. I think R-Truth stole a little bit of that moment because that's what fans wanted to see. I'll be honest with you, that's what I wanted to see too. And I'm glad he got his moment because he's not the top merchandise seller in the company for no reason. And
listen, the Miz deserved that moment too. And he got it. So both of those guys deserve that. Now, they're not going to be long-term champions, but that's okay. It was a WrestleMania moment. I think it was R-Truth's first win at WrestleMania, Todd. So, you know, hats off to him.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, there were some good parts in that, some good parts in that match, in that six-pack ladder match. The part where R-Truth was on the apron waiting for a tag to get in. Look on Damian Priest.
Didn't at one point he handed Damian Priest a ladder, a fresh ladder, as if he was on his side, which was pretty funny. Yeah, there were some good parts in that. All right. Well, so far, what do we have? We have an average match that it's acceptable. And we have what I think is a slightly above average match that I think started to set the tone. Here's where things start to get ugly. I was greatly looking forward to this match. Now, they took Dragon Lee out on Friday night, as everybody knows, and they put Andrade in. That's fine. There was a little part of me, I'm not going to lie, that said, uh-oh, Andrade's going to turn. Andrade's going to turn on Rey. Or Carlito's going to turn on Rey, because Carlito did not look happy that Andrade was put in that match. So I kept my eye very close on that, saying, here's where we're going to get a better storyline. Here's where a deeper storyline's going to come. There was nothing wrong with the match itself. But the booking of this match was hideous. You took probably the guy that's the most booed in Dominic Mysterio, and you took Santos Escobar, who has been nothing less than an A-plus heel. Put him in a situation where it would be very easy to sneak a win, very easy to get over just by cheating and further their heel potential. And not only did you not take that, but you booked the ending to be based on two friggin' football players in lucha masks that I never heard of in my life, and I'm guaranteeing you half of the other people in the audience didn't, but I don't give a damn if it was Tom Brady and friggin' Joe Namath. You don't book a wrestling match to end because two hometown boys decide to jump the fence and interfere. So what am I supposed to think? Can I jump the fence and interfere? Can you jump the fence and interfere, even if I have a luchador mask on? Why weren't they instantly disqualified? So here we go. The heels lose. We get it. The hometown boys are too much to an old football player, and I guess I'm a current football player are too much to handle. What the hell kind of an ending to a WrestleMania match is this? You know what it is? It's pandering. It's flat-out pandering. I suppose it was held in New York, Pete Alonso would have jumped the goddamn fence in a polar bear mask and beat up both of them, huh? I hated this. There was nothing wrong with the match. The workers in the match were fine. What was wrong is you made this match about nothing but this is a good way to get a hometown pop for a couple of football players. To hell with the wrestlers. They don't need a pop. They don't need a story. They don't need to get over. We'll just pop the crowd with a couple of homeboys, right? Horribly disappointed in this match. You're wasting Dominic's potential, which Rey should know. By the way, if you're Rey Mysterio, you have to have a little bit of clout. A little bit. And if Rey Mysterio couldn't say, I think it's time for my son really to get the victory back here and get their heel potential up on this team. And, you know, if you want to have the football players come in after everybody jumps us, and help us, that's cool, but let's not have him factor into actually us winning the match, because that's just hurtful to my son's career, to Santos's career, to the whole El Ligado del Fantasma thing. That doesn't make sense. And plus, if they jump the fence, wouldn't they be thrown out? At least if they came to help us afterwards, what are you going to do? The match is over. You can't disqualify them. The match is over. And, okay, they're celebrities, so that's happened before. But let's not have them factor into the actual match itself. But no, Mike, they had to do it. This thunk on ice, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. When Tyson Fury knocked the guy out, he did it after the match, right?
Yes.
You know, so there you go. And that's the thing. I mean, look, you look at that whole situation. You had everybody was out there. Joaquin Wilde and Carlito and the other guy and everybody and Selena Vega. Way too many people. Okay, I get what's her name being out there, because Electra Lopez was out there. All right, I get that. She had a spot in the match. I get that. All right. I enjoyed seeing Joaquin Wilde dive over the thing and go, what, 10, 15 feet into the crowd or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was
he
great.
Did. I enjoyed that. That was a good deal. Just don't pull this whole thing with these. I mean, I could see if it was somebody named Garcia or somebody named Sanchez or, you know,
I can't even see that, Mike. Why in the hell could they jump the fence? I don't care what their names are. You don't jump the fence, and you don't throw Dominic Mysterio into the ring apron or into the ring post. You'd be arrested. It would be one thing. We could stretch our imagination and say, well, these two football players came to help when the match was over and it looked like they were really seriously going to try to injure Andrade and Rey, and maybe even Zelina Vega. But you're right. Everybody's standing there with their finger in their ass while two football players manhandle wrestlers. So what is it that we can assume from this? Oh, well, I mean, these are tough wrestlers, but they're no match for football players. I don't know, man. I mean, this is something you see on Raw, this is, or SmackDown, Tom. It's not something you see in WrestleMania.
I thought, and you know what? To be honest with you, I thought I was going to be in the minority. With my thoughts, because I was pissed. I was like, what? Only in Philadelphia can you have two guys in luchador masks. Apparently, that's allowed to jump the rail, attack a wrestler, and the referee to go, "Yeah, I guess that's okay." It's not like the referee didn't see it. He was staring right at it. And because, two football players that happened to be on the announcer said it too. The announcer should have been like, what the hell are they doing here? The announcer, the Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, 2 effing years ago. Could you get over yourselves? Holy crap.
I know.
And
here's the thing. If you wanted to book that, why didn't you say we have these two football players in the audience? You know, they announced some other guy, some fighter, right, and said, oh, here's a celebrity, and here's a celebrity. Why didn't they say, look who we got in the front row here? Then, if Dominic Mysterio wanted to grab a chair, and those guys from their front row seat grab that chair, and him and Dominic had to pull the chair, and that cost them the match or something. Okay, that's fine. We get it. I still wouldn't like it, but I get it. But they actually jumped the barricade and threw one of the wrestlers into the ring post, while the rest of El Legado del Fantasma stood there with their finger in their ass, I guess. And no security. It was such a dumb spot because it was so obviously tyrannizing and planned and illogical and just stupid that if I'm Andrade, if I'm Rey, if I'm Santos Escobar, and even Dominic, who's new to the business, that's an insult to me. That's an insult. Because basically what you're saying is you guys don't have what it takes to get this crowd to pop. So we're going to find two football players to pop the crowd at the end because you obviously can't do it. That's bullshit. I was very angry with this, Todd. I just thought this was dumb.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this the end of that match with Andrade, Rey Mysterio, and versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio, I just didn't like the ending either. And like you said, I was not too happy with that. You know, where was the security? Where were they?
That's why it's illogical, Mike. It really makes me feel as though the bookers were saying, sorry, Ray, sorry, Andrade, sorry, Santos, sorry, Dominic, you don't have what it takes to pop this crowd. They're not going to be interested in your match unless we get two homeboy football players involved in it. That's an insult as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and that's the thing. And how is that going to be good for Andrade for when Charlotte comes back? You know, we know that at some point they're going to put those two people together. You know, we know Charlotte can get a pop, but you got to find a way to get him his pops, you know, Andrade to get him his pops. And this isn't the way to do it.
No, Andrade could have gotten some. Listen, here's the thing. The match was good. I will say this. I don't know whether the crowd was freezing cold, probably. Crowd wasn't great. This is a WrestleMania crowd. Joaquin Wilde gets shot like a lawn dart, like he came out of a slingshot, 15 feet up the runway, like he got shot out of a cannon. And the crowd's like, oh, that was kind of cool, I guess, yeah. Oh, what? I was real disappointed in their reaction. Andrade did a couple of really good moves. I've never seen him do. He didn't get next to no pop. Nobody's getting any pop. And they could have made this. Let me tell you this. In all fairness, this is one of the feuds I'm the most interested in. I'm really enjoying this LWO and El Legado del Fantasma thing. I think they could really do some very dramatic things with this. And I think all the players involved are really, really good. That's why I'm looking forward to it. I keep saying to myself, okay, Joaquin Wilde and his partner there, they're not too good on the mic, but they're so good in the ring. And Garza and Humberto are fantastic. Santos has been one of the greatest heels in the WWE, in my opinion. He's great at it. Rey is a legend. Dominic being thrown in the mix makes it interesting. Carlito coming back is fantastic. You've got all your ducks in a row. And this is the best you could come up with? There wasn't even any dramatic parts in the match. You know, Ray took off the belt to try to whip Dominic. It never happened. Dominic should have took the belt and, you know, maybe beat the hell out of Ray. Maybe, you know, you had to have these dramatic moments. There was no dramatic moments. There just wasn't. You wouldn't even know Ray and Dominic were father and son. There wasn't any real interaction that you say, man, there's tension there. There's some kind of drama. No. It was just a very poorly booked match. Very, very poorly booked, and it's just a gimmick match to get over a couple of football players that didn't need to get over and didn't really belong in WrestleMania. Period. We then get to Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso, and I said, thank God, because this left such a bad taste in my mouth that I was not happy. Jimmy Uso came out to a hero's welcome. The crowd loves Jey Uso. And I like Jey Uso very, very much. I think Jey Uso is fantastic. Jimmy Uso comes out with no solo. And I have to tell you, and I know it's going to make people mad, this is probably the most underwhelming WrestleMania match I have ever seen for a match that should have been good. I've seen poor WrestleMania matches that I knew was going to be poor that were way worse than this. But I've never seen a match that should have been, on paper, fantastic, be this disappointing. I mean, this looked like they were just practicing. Just a couple of super kicks and some Owen drops, and there was nothing there. There was no drama, no tension. And if you wanted to do that thing at the end where Jimmy Uso was saying, I'm sorry for everything and I'm hurt, you should have had what looked like a legit injury where Jimmy Uso was screaming in pain, holding his leg or holding his arm or whatever it is, and Jay being very reluctant to come in. And then having Jimmy Uso say, I'm sorry, this, that, and the other thing. And then that's the end of the match, though. Then when they pick up to embrace, he has to hit him with something. One, two, three, Jay loses. Because then you got another match out of this where you can say, well, Jay showed a little bit of sympathy. It looked to the world like his brother was hurt. So you got to, first you got to convince the crowd. So you've got to do something a little high risk or make a move look like it's screwed up so that it very much looks like Jimmy Uso is in fact hurt. Then you have Jey Uso kind of reluctant to go in, not sure what to do. Maybe he's bluffing, maybe he's not. The referee's looking at him, thinking about maybe we're calling off the match. And that's when Jimmy Uso says, I'm sorry for all of this stuff. I was wrong, this, that, and the other thing. He helps his brother up. Quick DDT, quick roll up, whatever you want to do. One, two, three, that's it. Get the hell out of the ring. And you've got yourself another match where Jay can say, okay, well, this time there's no sympathy. You know, I'm not going to be embarrassed because I showed sympathy for my brother, who's my blood brother. He should be embarrassed that he had to stoop to that level to beat me. But that's done. This was not a good match. I'm sorry. It was not a good match. I know there are people online saying I thought it was excellent. Well, I don't know what you were watching because it was not excellent. It was highly disappointing. Three or four moves is all they really did. It was way too short. It didn't hold the drama of two brothers really fighting. It just didn't have a feel. There was no feel at all to this one, Mike. I was super disappointed in this match.
And to your point, they could have very easily done the whole thing where super kick, Jimmy goes down, grabs his head like he's going to have a concussion. The referee goes off and says, you know, does what usually the referee would do when he thinks you have a concussion. And then Jimmy pulls him back and says, no, whatever. And does what he, you know, and then Jimmy nutshots him or something like that. And one, two, three, there's your win, right?
Let me run this by you, Mike, and see what you think. This is WrestleMania. This is not Raw, and this is not SmackDown. You got to pull out all the stops. How come Rikishi wasn't there? How come Rikishi didn't jump the barrier like a football player when Jimmy Uso goes down to an apparent injury and tells Jay, no, 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 please. That's your brother. Don't. Jey Uso looks, you know, embarrassed and says, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to hurt him. I wasn't trying to hurt him. And then when Rikishi helps his other son up, Jimmy clobbers him with something for the three count. That way Rikishi could say, I didn't mean to, you know, I thought he was hurt too. Then you could have got something. You could have got a match where, you know, Rikishi maybe is involved. He's the referee or whatever. Would be freaking awesome. Pull out all the stops. Pull something. This didn't do a damn thing for either one, Mike.
Didn't do a goddamn thing, you know, and that's the thing. You know, again, what are these guys thinking? Poor last two matches. Poor booking.
Super poor, Mike. I mean, there was so much you could have done with this. There is no excuse not to have Rikishi there unless he couldn't be there. But even if you couldn't have Rikishi there, and that's what I would have done. I'd tried to pull out all the stops to have Rikishi there to really run in that ring like he's concerned about his son. But if he couldn't, then at least have Jay realize, I think I hurt him bad. And that's when he could have fell down and said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. This should have never happened. I'm sorry. then if Jimmy is saying, no, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And we look like we're going to get that embrace, and instead Jimmy Uso plants him, takes the win and runs out of there. You got a great program started now with those two. And then if you could bring in Rikishi later, where Jey Uso said, you know, I didn't hurt him this time. And I was glad. At first I was glad. But now I'm mad. So you know what's going to happen? Now I am going to hurt him. If he wants to take advantage of me like that, then maybe it's time somebody does hurt him. And that's going to be me. Then Jimmy Uso could have said the same thing. You know, I was laying there, holding, clutching my leg or clutching whatever in agony. And all the time I was thinking, that's going to be you. That's going to be you. Because you've never been very smart. You've never been very clever. And that way Rikishi could say, look, I'm not going to watch my two sons kill each other. So I'm going to be the referee. And we're going to have a fair contest here. Would be awesome. Sign me up for that. But this was nonsense, Tom. I mean, it played on no emotions. You had so much opportunity. And the WWE knows how to do that because they sure as hell did it in the Sami Zayn match. So how come you couldn't have something like that in this match?
I'm going to tell you why. This is my theory is that because they spent such little time building this up at all, gave us really no story except for, you know, Jimmy turned on Jey. We didn't really get a reason, and it's been months. Now they're fighting at WrestleMania. They didn't build it up, and they didn't give us more of a story, more of a reason, why he did what he did on several occasions. And now that you're at WrestleMania, you're like, this is a blow-off match. Just, you know, do what you do, and the fans will be happy.
And that's
we're not.
Exactly what it felt like, Todd. It felt like a blow-off match. For the amount of talent that was in that ring, this was not a good match.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that match last night between Jimmy and Jey Uso, it just was not that match I expected. And I was, like, disappointed, as you guys were. I ever watched the classic of Owen Hart versus Bret Hart. I think they should watch that tape to see it look real. May it look more real, dramatic.
Absolutely. There was just, I know they didn't have much time to build it up. And that's why you don't make this the blow-off match where Jey wins and that's the end of it. You will, if you're going to do anything with it, then I guess you got to build a better feud. You shouldn't be building a better feud at WrestleMania. That's where the feuds are supposed to come to an end. But you didn't really build this one up, so you may as well let it build it up more. That would have built it up to a better level, a much better level. No, nothing. Crowd was disappointed, too. I'm telling you right now, the crowd was disappointed. But if you think the crowd was disappointed at that, we then get Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi against Damage Control, which are obviously, six-woman match. It's not for the titles or anything. But, how long was this match? 5 minutes? 6 minutes? Not much more. That's barely a minute per participant. It looked clunky. The whole thing was built around Jade Cargill's not going to get in until the very end. And then she's going to stand in one goddamn spot while people run at her and she just does moves that require them to do the whole thing. And all she has to do is drop you. I'm tired of sugarcoating it. She sucks. I know she looked fantastic. I know she has the muscles. I know whatever. Bullshit. She can't wrestle. Every move she does relies on somebody else doing it, and all she does is all I have to do is fall. All I have to do is drop you. All I have to do is balance you. Doesn't have any wrestling moves. She doesn't have any ring placement. She just stands in the middle of the ring, waits for you to come to her. You had five, count them, five, brilliant female workers in that ring, five of them, and you built the match around the one that doesn't have any talent. Congratulations. I'm sorry. It's just awful. Yeah, I'm not a Jade Cargill fan. I'm sorry. I don't know why anybody would be. I know, you're trying to promote her as she's so strong, she's so powerful. I got news, she's probably going to end up being the person that beats Rhea Ripley. How's that going to work for you? She can't wrestle. Number one, she doesn't do any moves that require ring placement. She just stands in the middle of the ring, and then you run at her, and she grabs you and picks you up and drops you. And the picking you up involves, really, they jump into her arms. She's strong enough to hold their weight and transfer their weight, and then she drops them. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you gave me 3 days, I could train most any single woman to do what Jade Cargill does, if they had the physical strength to hold the body weight, at least. It's not like this is rocket science, what she's doing. She's not doing anything. You have Bianca Belair in there, who's a fantastic athlete, who could run circles around her. You have Asuka in there, who's legendary. You have Naomi in there, whose pure athleticism is probably only second to Bianca Belair, if it even is second. And what do you have? You have a stiff in the middle of the ring saying, okay, run at me so you can jump and I'll drop you. Okay, now you run at me and I'll jump and drop you. Five, 6 minutes. It's just unbelievable. Kairi Sane is a fantastic worker. She didn't get to do anything at WrestleMania. She may as well have just come out and tipped her hat and said thanks for coming and left. And I'll tell you who I blame. I blame Triple H, but I also blame The Rock. We're going to get to this when we get to the main event. But 5 minutes, 6 minutes, that's what you gave them. That's the credit you gave them. You again, these are five of your very, very, very best workers. And you decided that WrestleMania should not be about them showing off how good they are. It should be about Jade Cargill making a debut, standing in the middle of the ring, stone-faced, no emotion, no expression, no feeling, no nothing, dropping people who jump into her arms. Okay. Well, congratulations. This might made me more angry than any of the matches so far.
You know, think about this. Let's compare Jade Cargill to what's-her-name that's in TNA right now, the Impact Champion. Same type of power wrestler, two different things of the sport, right? Ways to look at the thing, you know. She came off looking very good when she was in the battle royal there. Now, my other thing is the best thing in that match was they gave us something that we haven't seen in a while. You know what that was? And this is where the spot on the night comes in. The whole thing was Bianca Belair and her ponytail and the bullwhip. That should have gotten a big-time reaction, right? It didn't because of the crowd maybe sitting on his hands or maybe cold or whatever. But that should have gotten a reaction because we haven't seen that in God knows how long. They took it away from us. Yeah, we saw people, you know, in matches with Bianca Belair, they'd pull on her ponytail and maybe she'd play tug-of-war with him or whatever. But we haven't seen her do that bullwhip until yesterday night.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It can't save the match because we didn't see, I don't know. Was Naomi in the ring 40 seconds? Was Kairi Sane in the ring 40 seconds? Bianca was in a little bit longer. Asuka was in a little bit longer. That's about it. That's about it. So, okay, yeah, so she does that. Why was this even a thing? Why could Jade Cargill not have come out there and fought I don't know, Natalia. While we have a title defense of Kairi Sane versus Naomi and Bianca Belair. Well, I'll tell you why, because they're trying to set up Bianca Belair versus Jade Cargill. I get it. But you still could have done it. Putting Jade Cargill in that match is the equivalent of putting... I'm not even going to say it, but it ruined the match. It ruined what could have been a five-star WrestleMania match. And it turned it into a horseshit match because we all knew what was going to happen. Jade Cargill was going to do exactly a zero until the end. She was going to stand on the ring apron with a look on her face, expressionless, like she's a zombie. And then the hot tag's going to go to Jade Cargill, who will walk into the middle of the ring and wait for you to run to her and jump so she can just drop you. I don't want to put too much effort into it. I don't want to have to run around much. Don't make me run. Don't make me work. I'll just stand here and look good. You run at me and bounce off me like I'm Supergirl. And if you can jump, I can hold you long enough to drop you. And that's about where it's going to end. I don't know, Tom. This was a huge, glaring turd as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yes, a huge steaming turd. And, you know, let's talk about pandering. You know, we talked about it in the last match with the football players being in, you know, Philadelphia players. But this is definitely pandering. I mean, the girls come in, yeah, she's strong and she's this and she's that, but she cannot wrestle. The bell has got to ring. And the bell rung, and she did absolutely zero. I will mention in the Jimmy Uso, the Uso versus Uso match. The best part of that match was not even in the wrestling, but when Jimmy won and Pat McAfee was doing his dance, Corey Graves goes, Pat, why are your hips so aggressive right now? He's like, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? Corey's doing it next to me. That was hilarious.
Well, when the best part of the match is an announcer, you know, you don't have much of a match. But Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso was a million times better than this. You know, God bless them all. They're doing their job. But again, if you're Asuka, if you're Kairi Sane, even if you're Dakota Kai, and certainly if you're Bianca Belair and Naomi, you got to say, why is this match built around this woman who's doing nothing? Doing nothing. We could get in here and light it up, but no. It has to be about, we're in desperate shape. Can we tag the big hero? Oh, we did? Now everybody's afraid. And everybody's panicking because a girl who hasn't had one match got in the ring. No rhyme or reason to why you're supposed to be afraid. I could see it if she went on a three-month tear where she's throwing people around like lawn darts, that you say, okay, well, you got to sell that when she gets in, you're afraid. She hasn't had one match. I don't know, Mike. I think they're putting their eggs in the wrong basket with this woman.
Right. I mean, there are very few, what's his name, that can come in and just have a natural thing for this sport, for this business, and can get the job done in very few matches. You know, I mean, that guy, we've talked about him over and over again. There are very few women that can do that. And you're right. I mean, you could have had, you know, something here where, okay, fine. We know what you want to do with Bianca and Jade Cargill. We know that. Well, forget about that. You could have had that tag team match. We know. And look, what's her name is a very. We know about Kairi and Asuka. But the third person on that team is a very underrated superstar. She had her injury problems, you know, Dakota Kai, but she's very underrated. You know, so you got that going on, and you could have had that tag team match, and, you know, Dakota, I don't know where what's-her-name was in WrestleMania, you know, Io, you know, I don't know where she was, was she even there, Io Sky? You know?
Well, what gets me is this. Jake Cargill wrestles like a celebrity guest wrestler. Like, you know, remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the ring promoting his film and he ended up throwing around somebody, I forget who it was, and they made him look good because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what Jade Cargill is. She's Arnold Schwarzenegger. You got to make her look good because she can't do it herself. That's what it is. Chuck Norris, remember when he's in there? Well, you got to make Chuck look good. He can't wrestle. He's going to throw a couple of kicks. You just got to sell it, and that's it, because he can't do anything else. He's not a wrestler. Well, she's supposed to be a wrestler. She's not supposed to be a celebrity guest. If she was like, I don't know, some pop singer or whatever, and you said, well, she's pretty big, and she works out, and she's coming in there to do something, we don't expect much of her, and then she did that, I'd say, okay, she did a reasonably good job for a celebrity. She's supposed to be a world-class professional wrestler. You know why she can't have a solo match? Because she can't do it. Otherwise, they would have put her up against Natty or somebody, right? Nope. Not at all. Not impressed at all with Jade Cargill, Todd. I thought the debut was poor at best.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, she was just not good. To be honest with you, she's just one of those wrestlers to be like, oh, I'm just gonna be lazy. That's to me, that's total laziness in the ring. She wants to.
It feels like she's lazy in the ring. It does. I just think it's inexperience, and I just think she can't do it right now. She's Eva Marie with muscles. Anyway, we then get to Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Let me first say this so I don't piss a lot of people off. This was a fantastic match. There's very few, if any, workers in the WWE that can garner as much sympathy from a crowd as Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is wasted as a heel. Because his potential to get the crowd support and sympathy is astronomical. He just has that ability. Fantastic. And Gunther is the perfect opponent for that. And they had a barn burner of a match. Having said that, here's a note to the WWE writer, since you're saying it's a new era. Can you please not totally give away the match before it starts? When you literally have Sami Zayn saying, I don't want my child there to watch, but go watch on television. Daddy's going off to die. And then Chad Gable says, you can do it. You always could do it. I don't need to be out there with you. Go out there and do it. And then your best friend hugs you and says, you do it. You go out there and do it. Yeah, he's going to go out there and lose. So by the time his music hit, I said, well, Sami Zayn's winning. I mean, there's no doubt about that now. If there was any doubt about it, there's no doubt about it now. Then, to add insult to injury, they have Gunther not once, not twice, not three times, but four times verbally assault his wife. So I'm saying, well, now there really is no way. Now there's really no way. But at least they did that during the match. I'm okay with that during the match. But you've already given away the ending. You've already given away the ending. You know what would have been better? And I would have stood up and applauded if they thought of this. If Sami Zayn had said to his wife, I want you out there with our child. I want you to be front row center. Because I'm not failing tonight. And her saying, Sammy, I believe in you, but I don't want him there. I'll be there. Not him. Not her. Whichever one it was, I forget. Because then Sammy could have said, you don't believe in me, do you? Well, I'm going to prove it to you. Then if Chad Gable said, I'm not coming out there with you, and he said, why? Oh, because you really don't need it. Yeah, but you said you were going to be there for me. Yeah, you can do this yourself. Then Sammy again thinking, he's deserting me. He doesn't believe I'm going to be able to do it. Then if you run into Kevin Owens who says, go out there and do the best you can, buddy. Either way, you know how proud I am of you. Sammy could have paused for a minute and said, nobody believes. Then you would have had me saying, maybe Sammy is going to lose. And he's going to start blaming the people in his life rather than him. Maybe he's going to turn heel again. Maybe he's not going to win. No, you literally had it be, what more could he do, run over his puppy? I mean, at some point you say you've jumped the shark to the point now where there's no way Gunther could win. Then if I have any critique of the match, it's apparently Sami Zayn, if he's motivated enough, can take more punishment than Drew McIntyre, than Sheamus, than anybody who has fought in Gunther who loses to one powerbomb because he's powerbombed three times, he was splashed two times, and it's not enough. It's a feel-good story. I'm glad he won. I thought he was going to win anyway, but you see, what you need to do if you're writers is you need to say, look, I think the majority of the crowd figures Sammy's going to win this. Based on the stuff we did with Chad Gable and him, and based on him saying, I don't want to let my family down, I think the fans are starting to get a hint that Sammy's going to win. Let's swerve him in the other direction. Let's make it look like he's really not going to before he goes out there. By making it obvious he's going to by going out there, you didn't tip your hand. You laid your hand down on the table and said, hey, everybody, here's my cards. That's not good writing. Good writing is saying, this is what they expect. How do we swerve them a little? Like, maybe that's not going to happen. Now, they tried to do that in the match when they were saying they should stop the match. And I thought maybe Chad Gable was going to end up coming out or something and factor into it somehow. But no, the match itself was fine. Now what I'm arguing is about it really is not about the match. It's about the writing. The writer's job is to say the majority of people seem to think Sammy's taken this. Let's swerve them in the other direction before this match starts. Now, if you didn't want to do what I said, you could have done the opposite. You could have had his wife say, we're coming out there and we're going to cheer for you. And he could say, don't. Because if I lose, I just absolutely could not face the fact that you guys are sitting in the front row. So I'd rather not have you there. And then she could look disappointed and say, well, we'll watch it on TV. Then you get to Chad Gable, who says, come on, we're going to go out there and do this. And Sammy's saying, Chad, I think I need to do this alone. I mean, I don't want you there and if I fail. Because you've been really good to me, and you've helped me so much. I don't know if I could do that. Then if he bumps into Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens says, "Come on, dude, this is your moment. This is it," and he says, "Yeah, thank you very much. You know, I'm going to do my best, Kevin." And Kevin just looks like, "What? That's your moment." Then when Gunther is killing him, if his wife comes to ringside, or at least down to the front row and starts cheering for him, and then he starts making his comeback, it makes more sense. And you've bluffed the fans into thinking he ain't winning. Right? I think the writing is ass backwards in this, Mike. They literally laid their cards on the table before Sami Zayn's music hit.
Right. If it's not the booking, it's the writing. All right? And some people may say, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. All right? I mean, this is these two things in general with the WWE are what we call unforced errors. This was an unforced error. You know, them giving away the ending of a match is an unforced error, and they should never do that. If things were being run tightly, and we'll talk about this after we talk about the thing. I mean, apparently backstage things aren't very well and all that stuff, but we'll talk about that later. But I mean, can we not make unforced errors, please, WWE?
I don't think they think it's an error. See, that's the thing. The writers don't seem to understand the basic psychology of wrestling, and that is that whatever the fans are thinking, try to make them think the opposite. Try to swerve them in a direction that they're not sure. Throw a little, you know, unsureness into the booking where the fans say, well, I'm not sure, they've left themselves a way out here, haven't they? We called this entire, number one, it was obvious enough to begin with. We called the entire thing when we said the gimmick is going to be that Gunther is going to be overconfident. He's not going to take Sami Zayn seriously. Sami Zayn's going to take a world of abuse, come back from it. Gunther's not going to be ready for it, and he's going to lose. And that's exactly what happened. So if it's obvious to us, I'm sure it was obvious to other people. So now your job before this match is to make it unobvious, to make it look like Sami Zayn wasn't confident, that Sami Zayn was maybe about to lose and possibly even flip him. And then you'd have that dramatic moment where his wife ran down the ringside and started cheering for him, and it made the difference. That would have been great. Or even his kid. Come down there with his wife and his kid, and it makes the difference. That would have been great. It would have tipped the match before the ending, but it wouldn't have tipped it until like a couple minutes before the ending. And that couple minutes is the finale, so that's fine. That's what you want, right? No, you tipped it before Sammy's music hit. So the match was fantastic, but it suffered from really poor writing, Tom, because it was a dead giveaway.
Yeah, it sure was. And I was fully expecting, again, everything you just said. You know, for Sammy to be, you know, bummed out that these guys weren't coming out with him, or at least showing some kind. It just, you know, it revolves around. I get the Rocky thing. I get it. But they really just flat out gave it away. Right before, you know, even before the music hit, and for it to be a new era, as you know, Triple H keeps saying, well, just stop. Just stop giving stuff away. It's, you know, it's kind of insulting. There's no element of surprise.
Wouldn't it have been great if you know, if I'm going to write this or book this, I would come up with four or five different things. But one that I come up with off the top of my head would be Sammy telling people not to come to ringside. Telling his wife and kid don't come to ringside. Telling Chad Gable, I really would rather you didn't. Having Kevin Owens offer, I want to be down there with you in case something happens. No, Kevin, no. Right? Then eventually, Chad Gable comes down anyway and starts cheering him on. And he makes a comeback, a little bit of a comeback, but it's not enough. And Gunther's overcoming him. Then here comes Kevin Owens to cheer him on from the audience, from the front row, you know. Saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it. Hey, he makes a comeback, but it's not enough. Then his wife and kid do. And then there's your final comeback. So Gunther is first yelling at Chad Gable, I'm going to do the same thing to him I did to you, blah, 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 blah. It wasn't enough. Then he's yelling at Kevin Owens. So it's not always his wife he's yelling at, right? Third time he's yelling at his wife, well, that's the one that did it. Sounds like better booking to me than what they did here, better writing to me than what they did here, Mike.
It really was, and that's the thing. And I still maintain, you know, it's an unforced error, you know. And that's the thing. If you take a look at this stuff, and this is the same. It's been gone. This type of stuff has been going on, it just glares at you when it's on something like WrestleMania. But it's happened on Raw and SmackDown and stuff like that. It's happened. And it's happened over the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
but we were told this is a new era. We were told we're going to have whole new writing and everything. And by the way, they seem to be able to write the other people's stuff pretty well. I don't know, Todd. I think they gave this thing away, and I think it's a shame.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, they did give this match away, and with Sami Zayn and Gunther there, and that's like they spoiled it for us.
Now, having said that, Sami Zayn put on a fantastic performance. Gunther put on a fantastic performance. I have zero problem with either one of those guys and the match they put on. Fantastic. But it's like saying you were really good actors in a really bad movie. They deserve better. The moment I just described where all three of the people he told to not come to ringside, one at a time come to ringside in an attempt to rally him. And when all three are finally there, he finds the strength to win. It's a great story. And imagine the celebration with his wife, kid, Kevin Owens, Chad Gable. It's a moment. That's a WrestleMania moment. That's a moment you need. You didn't have it. You gave away the ending. That's why the crowd wasn't super crazy, because they already knew. They already knew. Disappointing, at least in the writing, not in the match itself, but in the writing. So now we get to the main event. If The Rock's entrance was any longer, it would still be going on. I don't care what anybody says. I love The Rock. I love the villain potential that The Rock has. But Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock, Dwayne Johnson has an ego problem, and he needs to check it. This is out of control. You don't get to make a 19-minute entrance. Asuka and her crew have to have a 5-minute match so you can have a 19-minute entrance. Not happy about that. Having said that, this match was 40-some-odd minutes. Couldn't give anybody else an extra 3 minutes, because we need 40-some-odd minutes, because we're only the main event tomorrow night, too. Seth Rollins gets another match. Cody Rhodes gets another match. Roman Reigns gets another match. Does Asuka get another match? Does Bianca Belair get another match? No! Santos Escobar get another match? No! And by the way, talk about predictable, this shouldn't have even been the main event. And I'll tell you why, because everyone in the universe knew the minute you said Bloodline rules, if you don't win, they're not winning. Because if they did win, it would be like, oh, well, what the fuck was that for then? So it's not going to be Bloodline rules, so it's no big deal. So you made the main event of WrestleMania a 44-minute match where you basically told us what the ending was going to be. If you're going to do that, and you're going to tell us what the ending's going to be to the last two matches, at least make the last match 30 minutes. That gives 14 minutes to some other matches. Can't do that. Now, having said that, The Rock did better than I thought. Yeah, he did quick tags in and out. He didn't stay in the ring a long time. His pacing was slow, but he still looked okay. Seth Rollins is set up for the loss he's definitely going to take tonight, because he's already acting like he's hurt. And in case you ain't figured it out yet, expect a huge surprise at the end of the night. I'm not going to give it away. You probably already know what it is, and I'll ask the panel not to give it away either, because I know they know what it is. bottom line of the situation is this, folks. Night one was not what it should be, and here's why. Becky Lynch was sick. Great. We can't do anything about that. Ladder match had a lot of people in it. They did the best they could. It was a good match. Nothing you can really do about that. The Santos Escobar, El Legado del Fantasma versus LWO was a setup for football players. No excuse for it. None. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso thrown together. They didn't act like they didn't even try. No excuse for it. None. The six-woman tag team match was just a showcase for Jade Cargill to stand like the goddamn Statue of Liberty in the middle of the ring and drop people. No excuse for it, none. Gunther and Sami Zayn put on a barn burner of a match, but you gave the ending away before Sami Zayn's music ever hit. No excuse for it, none. And then the main event, which every single person in that arena understood very clearly how it was going to end, ran 44 minutes when two of the matches was under 10. No excuse for it, none. Sorry. We're not talking about a Raw. If this was a four-hour Raw, I would have said it's a pretty damn good Raw. This is WrestleMania. I'm holding you to a higher standard. The last two matches were anticlimactic because we already knew who was going to win. Now, you knew we knew the feature match. So at least make that shorter so the other people have some time. You knew we were very suspicious about the Intercontinental match. So throw us a curveball and make it look like he's not going to win. I would argue that Sami Zayn and Gunther should have been the main event. Because if you did what I said and had all three of those people individually come down and cheer him on, and then eventually when he won, hit the ring with them to celebrate and raise them on their shoulders while his wife and kid are there, and there's Sami Zayn on Kevin Owens and Chad Gable's shoulders holding the belt. His wife and kid are there. That's a WrestleMania moment. Having The Rock drop a people's elbow on Cody Rhodes and pin him is not a WrestleMania moment. It was inevitable, and we knew it was going to happen. But it's anticlimactic. So WrestleMania Night 1 ends with, yeah, I knew. Yeah, I knew that was what was going to happen. I knew, you know, one of the two of them was going to lose, and it would probably be Cody, since he's clearly winning tonight. Big deal. That's what this whole thing felt like. This whole thing felt like this is a WrestleMania warm-up, almost like the Friday Night SmackDown before the real WrestleMania. That's what this felt like to me. This did not feel like WrestleMania. It felt like the warm-up to WrestleMania. I don't know, Mike. How do you feel about it overall?
Yeah, you're right. It felt like a thing to WrestleMania. Look, here's the deal. I want to go back to the six-woman women's match. You could have absolutely had it play out to the point instead of the six-woman match, okay, fine. Dakota Kai, and you have outside, and when Dakota Kai tries to interfere in the match, Jade Cargill throws her around a little bit and makes it an even match again. That's how you do this. Look, I agree with you. Instead of a 40-minute match, make it a 25-minute match.
Look how much time you would have had. I got news. You want to promote Jade Cargill the right way? If I'm on the writing team, or I got full say over creative, if I'm Triple H for a minute, I say, okay, here's the deal. The whole match is built around Jade Cargill getting the hot tag. Naomi, you're going to be knocked out on the outside of the ring. Bianca Belair is going to be trying to take him on alone because she can't get to the corner. They just keep pulling her back and pulling her back and pulling her back and pulling her back. Every time she tries to make the tag, she can't. Finally, she'll manage to mount a little bit of a comeback, do a little bit of a roll, make that hot tag, and when that crowd explodes, Jade Cargill gives her both double middle fingers and says, F you, jumps off the ring apron and walks away. Bianca gets hit with something, 1, 2, 3, gets pinned, and then Nick, on Monday night, Jade Cargill says, why would you need me? You're the strongest. You're the fastest. You're the toughest. You're the EST. Remember? Somebody who's the strongest and the fastest and the toughest certainly doesn't need little old me to pull them out of a hole, right? Oh, you'd have something there then. Fans would go freaking nuts. Because they'd want to see Jade Cargill get what was coming to her. And you'd have really swerved the fans, because the fans would have been like, we thought she was going to be this big Hulk Hogan-type hero, and apparently she's going to be a bitch. I would have done that, Tom, and I think that, again, people would have said, well, Jade Cargill didn't get to wrestle. Yeah, and that's the whole point. Because people say, how entitled is this bitch, right? I would have pulled the string on that in a moment.
Yeah, for sure. That is, you know, even... My thing is, like, you just wasted the tag team championship match. Why wasn't this a tag team championship match? And Jade Cargill on the outside as an enforcer, at least.
Could have done that, too. That's what Mike was saying. You know, could have done that, too. But
honestly.
Go ahead.
Marcus, here's what my problem with the main event. First of all, 10-10. Right, I'm like, oh, they're going to give this match time. I'm thinking it's going to end at like 11. They're going to give this match a good amount of time. They run a promo commercial, then the Rock's entrance, which was about 12 minutes. Then what's it called? Roman's entrance, which is about 5-6 minutes. Then you got Cody's entrance. Then you got Seth Rollins' entrance, which. What in the hell is he wearing? That's a different story for a different time. But, Cody takes 3 spears, 3 Superman punches, dumped to the outside, wailed on and beaten to a pulp, and kicks out of all of that like he's a goddamn Undertaker, but he loses with the people's elbow. For crying out loud, can you just... If this dude's ego...
I know, and listen, The Rock's entrance literally lasted longer than Britney Spears' last marriage. I mean, that's unbelievable. How do you justify saying, ladies, your 6-man tag team match is 6 minutes long because The Rock wants to take 14 minutes to get to the ring? I don't know how you justify that, Todd. I just don't.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing last night with The Rock, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins, and Cody Rhodes, especially The Rock entrances, it was just ridiculous. It just shouldn't take that long to do an entrance. Just do it like you smell The Rock is cooking, and then come down to the ring. Not just do this special.
I agree with you 100%. Now let me run this by you guys. Everyone knows I love Pat McAfee. I think Pat McAfee is a great, great, great wrestling announcer because he's so passionate about it, and he's very much like a fan. So he makes you feel the same thing he's feeling. But he made a very bad mistake, and I hope one he will never, ever make again. Under no circumstances, before a match starts, do you say about the villain, the guy that everybody's rooting against, you do understand that as we speak, this man is battling leukemia. I don't know what the fuck you were thinking, Pat. You don't do it. Why would you do that? You want to talk about an unforced error? That's not what people want to hear before they go rooting against somebody. We know it's true. We get it. We don't need to hear it. Because then your sympathy goes to the wrong people, and you're just like, damn, that's right. I forgot about that shit. Hard to boo a guy who's fighting leukemia and stuff. My goodness gracious, right? Why the hell would you do something that obviously poor? I just don't know. I mean, that made me really rethink how smart Pat McAfee is when it comes to wrestling, because Wrestling 101 tells you you don't try to get sympathy for the heel, Mike.
Absolutely, and I got to agree with you, Dan. You know, it is what it is with Pat. He's done some pretty good work, but this is a glaring unforced error on his part. Unless, I don't know if somebody was in his ear and told him to say that, and that too, if somebody was in his ear and told him to say that and he said it, that's on both of those guys. Somebody's in his ear and he doesn't say it, could get him fired. But again, that'd be a good move on his part, because he would know that you're not supposed to say that type, even if somebody's in gorilla and is in his ear and saying, okay, this guy had leukemia and all that stuff. And by the way,
from what I'm hearing, you know, the Vince McMahon era, Vince McMahon used to be in the announcer's ears telling them what to say. But from what I'm hearing, that's a thing of the past. So I think he just said it. I think it was a huge, gigantic mistake. This felt very much like a warm-up WrestleMania to me. And by the way, the crowd, like I said, I don't know. They probably were freezing. But the crowd didn't do him no favors. Did you hear one "This is awesome" chant all night long? No. Did you hear a gigantic pop for anything except R-Truth all night? R-Truth got the biggest pop in WrestleMania, probably. This is also a problem of what happens when the first 20 rows are all celebrities and businessmen and millionaires and whatever, and not really fans. Because they're all just sitting there on their hands going, eh, I'm at a wrestling event because I'm famous. I'm waiting for them to introduce me, or it's a status symbol to me. The real fans are in row Q or R, way up in the nosebleed section, where you can't tell The Rock from Cody Rhodes, and you can't hear him. That's a problem. That's a problem. This is a problem with not just, you know, wrestling. This is a problem with all sporting events and even concerts. Billy Joel, the performer, does not allow the first few rows to be sold in his concerts. And the reason he will not do it is he said at my concert, which is Madison Square Garden, like once a month, I think, he has people go up into the nosebleed section and upgrade real fans to the front couple rows. And when he was asked why he did it, he said, because I want fans sitting there. I want actual fans sitting there. I don't want people sitting there who are writing it off on their taxes and don't even know one song and they're just there because it's a status symbol. I want fans there. Well, it might help if WrestleMania did something similar, Mike, because the first few rows are filled with celebrities who think it's above them to yell, scream, holler, and raise some noise.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about it this way, all right? Paul Heyman, when he was running the ECW, he had, you know, I don't want to say famous, but, you know, porn stars like that was sitting in the front of the audience. But generally speaking, when he was at that building, you know, in Philadelphia, That was mostly fans who loved ECW, and it showed. And because I give you a good example. Every single time that the Sandman came out, who was up on the thing? Who was up on the front row crazies were up on the thing, basically giving him cup of beer or whatever, whatever.
I can tell you firsthand that I sat in the front row many times at ECW. I can go one further than that. I sat in the front row many times at WWE. And around me were fans. I've even sat at pay-per-views front row in WWE. And around me were fans. WrestleMania, not so much. I've never really been to a WrestleMania live, but WrestleMania, you can tell, the front rows are not fans. So they're sitting on their hands. That's a problem. We'll see if this improves tonight. But tonight we're running through the matches very quickly, and I'm saying to myself, okay, well, you know, you've got your big match. You've got Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. We saw a warm-up to it last night. Seth Rollins clearly is losing the title. I don't know if Damian Priest is going to have any run-in or whatever, but Seth Rollins is clearly losing the title. He's clearly losing it because they set it up last night. So once again, you probably have blueprinted it by saying, look, Seth Rollins is injured. His leg is not perfect. Drew McIntyre was right when he said Seth Rollins is not going to be able to overcome this. Or if he does overcome Drew McIntyre, then maybe Damian Priest will come down and pick the bones. I don't know, but I don't think Seth Rollins walks out of this as champion. Becky Lynch did not win, so you know Bayley is. LA Knight and AJ Styles feels like Jay and Jimmy Uso. It hasn't been built up. It doesn't make any sense anyway, and nobody cares. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against the Final Testament, nobody cares. So that just leaves Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens, and I still say Logan Paul somehow is going to pull this out of his ass. I don't know how, but I think he is. This is an underwhelming WrestleMania night, too. You better have a great – I think the ending match, and again, I'm not going to give away. I think the ending match is going to have an ending that's going to make people pop. However, I think it's pretty clear Cody Rhodes is winning. World Heavyweight Championship, I think it's pretty clear that Seth Rollins at least isn't walking out the champion. You don't have CM Punk sitting at ringside for no reason. And I think that's going to distract Drew McIntyre. If Drew doesn't win, which I think he might, then certainly CM Punk's distraction is going to cost something. And I still don't think you've seen Seth Rollins walk out the champion. Bayley's clearly winning. And I don't know why, but I think this match is going to be underwhelming. I hope that when I come on the air tomorrow, and by the way, we'll be on the air tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 5 p.m. tomorrow Eastern Standard Time to run this back. When I come on here, I hope I'm wrong because both Bayley and Io Sky are very good at what they do, but I got a feeling this is going to be underwhelming. I don't know. I hope night two is better than night one. That's all I got to say. I'm not saying night one sucked. I very much enjoyed the ladder match. I very much enjoyed Sami Zayn's match. I just think Sami Zayn's match could have been written better. I enjoyed the main event, but it did not have to be 44 minutes at the expense of other people getting six. That's just plain greedy. Like Mike said, 25 minutes, even 30 minutes is fine. You're adding 14 minutes. That means you could have gave an extra 3 minutes or 4 minutes to four different people. That makes a difference. So, yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I don't think it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I don't even think it's close to the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I think it's a very standard WrestleMania, and some of it below average. So for that reason, I'm going to give Night 1 C-. I just don't think it lived up to the hype, and I don't think it's as I don't know if it's likely to live up to the hype tonight, Mike. I hope it does, but I have my doubts.
You know what? I'm going to give it a little bit worse and say D+. You know, I mean, some of the things that were good were really good, but there just wasn't enough of the really good stuff in here, and if it's not, and this is WrestleMania, this isn't Raw, this isn't SmackDown, this is doggone WrestleMania. And so you got to pull out all the stops. And by the way, the guy, the other wrestler I was thinking about had appeared in that battle royal was Jordan Grace. Jordan Grace is better at doing this thing that they're doing with what's her name?
Jade Cargill. Yeah, Jordan Grace would have been better. I got news. This would have been a great spot for Tessa Blanchard. If you had hired Tessa Blanchard as, like, oh, the biggest free agent in the women's market or whatever, I would have said, yeah, that's probably true. Probably true. Plus, we already know she comes with a bad attitude. So if she did have problems with Bianca Belair, you know, if you're going to give me Tessa Blanchard versus Bianca Belair as a main event somewhere, you know, take my money. I'll go see that. That sounds good. I know she's got backstage problems, but, I mean, you know, maybe whatever. Would be fun to see. It's going to be a lot better than Jade Cargill standing in the middle of the ring waiting for people to run at her. So, yeah, there's Jordan Grace, yes. There were several better choices. Jade Cargill couldn't even make it in AEW. She thinks she's going to make it in WWE. It's not going to happen, I'm telling you. They're going to book her like she's Hulk Hogan, but I don't think the fans are going to buy into it. And when push comes to shove, if they put her against Bianca Belair, crowd's going to go on Bianca Belair's side. I guarantee it. I do want to mention one thing about Bianca Belair, however, because I was very impressed with this. At the press conference last night, to which, once again, Jade Cargill was a stiff. She's not good on the mic either. Someone said to all three, how important is it that you're a role model, that you become role models for people, both boys and girls, that look like you? I don't want to get too political in the show, but that's a racist question. I know it's a woke thing to say. That's a racist question, in my opinion. And Bianca Belair answered it very well when she said, I don't think it's important that they look like me. I think it's important that we're role models, but I don't really think it's important that, you know, that they look like us. That's the way you answer that question. That's correct. You know when racism ends? When we can hear, do you want to be a role model for all children? When we hear on the news, a man was shot, not a black man was shot. What's the difference what color he is? A man was shot. A man was arrested, not an Asian man, not a Latino man, just a man. That's when we're going to end racism. You keep bringing it up every 2 seconds. Oh, you want to be a role model for people who look like you? No, I want to be a role model for everyone. So I thought she answered that question very well, Mike.
I think she's one of the few females in the company that you could send on, you know, Good Morning America or Regis and Kathy Lee or whatever it's called now, ESPN, mm-hmm. whatever. And she come off being a good fit for that. I mean, yeah, she's had her problems with how they booked her and that, you know, yeah, calling herself this, that, and the other, and which was at the time seemed to be a heel thing to do, whereas if you just let – you just go out and do your job and prove that you're it and have the – announcers say you're it, then fine, you're it, right? So, yeah, she's going to be – she's – I'm going to say she could be barring them messing up Bailey again or getting Bailey right. She could be the female John Cena.
I think she is, and I think that that's the person you want to run with as your spokesperson for your women's division. You know, I thought about this very carefully, and I said, you know, Becky Lynch is good. Charlotte's good. They might even be better in the ring than her. I don't know, but I don't think they're better outside the ring. I think Bianca Belair has what it takes to be that, the voice of the women's division, and that's who I'd run with for now. I really would. Just like Cody Rhodes has it for the men's division, I think Bianca Belair has it for the women's division. I was really impressed with the way she handled the press conference. And that's what you need. From a business point of view, that's what you need. Anyway, Todd, what's your rating on WrestleMania Night 1?
I got to give it a C- as well, you know.
Yeah, a little disappointing. I hate to do it because I know there's going to be people. I woke up today to a post by an indie wrestler who said, if you got a problem with WrestleMania, then you're the problem. That's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So if I got a problem with the New York Mets pitching staff, am I the problem? Or is the New York Mets pitching staff the problem? If I got a problem with my local restaurants, the way they make their pizza, is that my problem? Or is that their problem? The same people who tell you you can't criticize wrestling are the people who yell about what they do if they were the coach of the football team, how the movie they just saw sucked, how they went to a restaurant and the food was lousy. Are you a chef? Are you a football player? Are you an actor? Sorry, we get to criticize it because we're the ones you're trying to entertain. So we get to say what we feel. And we're never the problem. Because your goal is to entertain us. So we're never the problem. Let's make that clear. Anyway, I don't know, Mike, what's your thoughts on Night 2? You think they can rebound? We kind of know without saying that main event, there's going to be at least one big surprise, maybe more. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, we'll see what the surprises are, but basically we know the ending. We know the ending. Let's just say that. My most interesting match is going to be what happens with the Bayley match, because we know those two women can get the job done in the ring. We know that. Now, even though Bayley's had her, she looks like she's pudgy a little bit. I mean, she's gotten better about it, but we know about the turn that's eventually going to come with Bayley. And I mean, if anything, if they could have swung getting Io Sky's sister for this, but she works for AEW now.
Well, I think Io Sky's job tonight is to prove she belongs in WrestleMania as a champion, whether she loses it or not. Because I know a lot of people are saying she's good, but I don't know if she has the whatever. So, listen, she does. It's just got to be in the right circumstance. If you give her 4 minutes because you want to have Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns do 64 minutes, then whatever. Then what do you want from her? Okay? I'm not even a big fan. I think this might be the first time in WrestleMania history. I could be wrong. Is this the first time in WrestleMania history, Mike, that the same people main evented both nights? You got Cody Rhodes main eventing both nights, and you got Roman Reigns main eventing both nights. I don't believe that's ever happened before.
I don't think it's ever happened before either. Look, I won't say I'm going to guarantee you it's not going to be 64 minutes, but I'd love to see them split it up. And look, here's the deal. I want to go back to the whole Rock coming down, taking 14 minutes. I can remember a whole bunch of times when there was a long rampway and it didn't take the Ultimate Warrior no 14 minutes to get to the ring.
No. No. And look, I know the Rock's entrance is supposed to be dramatic. It's like the Undertaker's entrance, you know, where it takes a while. But under no circumstances, if you want to have that entrance, fine. Then you're going to have to take away some time from the match, because it's not fair that the women's tag team champion, it's one thing you want to take it away from, you know, El Legado del Fantasma, whatever. You want to take it away from, you know, a match that wasn't that major. But you're taking it away from the tag team championship ladder match. You're taking it away from the women's match. You're taking it away from Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, although they probably were thankful because Becky probably wasn't feeling well. You're taking it away from other people. Yes, you're the main event. You deserve more time. But do you deserve five times more time? I don't think you deserve that. If your average WrestleMania match is going to be about 10 minutes to 12 minutes, then maybe you deserve 30. Is that reasonable? Instead of 5 minutes and 45 minutes? Because that's a big difference, Mike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. When you've got those quality athletes in that match, in a women's six-man match, and look, don't sell what's-her-name short. Don't sell Dakota Kai short, right? She's not the athlete that that some of those other women are, but she's a damn good athlete herself. So give all these rest of these guys time. Yeah, if you want to have her get the hot tag, fine. But after about, let's say, 15 minutes of everybody getting their shot to seeing what they can do, you know?
That match should have been a minimum of 15. The ladder match, that's got to go 15 or 20. You want to cut La Legado del Fantasmo down to 8 or 10, that's fine. Becky Lynch and Rhea weren't feeling, or Becky Lynch wasn't feeling too good. You want to cut hers down to about 8 or 10, that's fine. But 45 minutes, 6 minutes, I'm sorry. Especially when a lot of it was tied up with entrances. If you take away those long entrances that they all had, I mean, it's just crazy. Anyway, enjoy WrestleMania Night 2. We will be back here tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hopefully to give you a little bit better review of WrestleMania Night 2. Enjoy. We'll see you then.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.